Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Did you have a good New Year? Had a good New Year. Praying that God would bless you in 2019 and be the best year ever. You know, three of our four kids came to Auburn this week, and we're so excited to have them. You know, our oldest son and his wife live in Southern California. They have three kids. We have three grandkids through them. Our daughter from Anchorage, Alaska was here. She's pregnant with her first child. And so we had a really sweet, sweet time together these last few weeks. I mean, these last few days. But that's not the best thing that's happened this last couple of days. The best thing that's happened... My socks are really itching me today, you know. So my Chargers are in the playoffs today, okay? That's the best thing that's happened. I love my kids, but, you know, it's been a long time since I've been able to say that the two local teams are at home watching and my team is in the playoffs. And so I take great joy in that today and saying that today. So I hope your week went well. We're getting back into the flow of things as a church after the holidays. Next Sunday, we're going to jump back into the series that we were doing before the holidays, which is a study of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you want to read ahead for next week, that's where we're going to be looking. Today, I wanted to finish off just this little two-week thing that I'm doing. You know, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's is always kind of a odd Sunday. What do you do? What do you talk about? That's where I typically talk about vision. I talk about goals. I talk about where God has taken us as a church family. Last Sunday, I started off by talking about our updated vision statements, what it is that God has called us to do. There's a lot of wonderful churches in our community. Why is Auburn Grace here? And what is it he's assigned us to do? And what is our culture in our DNA? We looked at that last week. This Sunday, I want to kind of finish that idea out by, I want to talk about something different, and I know it's a bit unusual maybe, and I know that God speaks to us through his word, and so the best time that we could spend up here most of the weeks is just to get into his word. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about our vision for the coming year. I want to talk a little bit about where did God bring us in 2018, and what are some things we're really believing God has put in front of us for 2019 and beyond. So if you'll bear with me, I just want to share a bit of our vision goals. Last week we announced and we talked through our vision statement, which is the foundation or the filter that we run all of our decisions through. And now we've been asking God, what do you have for us? What do you want us to continue to do? So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, just to inform you. My hope this morning is that you'll hear something that excites you, that you'll really resonate with, you'll want to get involved with in some capacity, and just that you'll keep praying for your church and your church family. Thank you so much, Dave, our elder just announced. You know, every year our finances go the same trajectory. Because we are a fiscal year, we always start our budget July 1st, and July and August are our lowest giving months of the year, and so we always start our budget a little behind, and then in December is when we usually catch up, and then we stay strong through June. This year is no different. You guys are so great. We met as an elder board at the beginning of December. What should we do? We're behind again, as we always are, and the elders just said, let's just tell the folks and keep praying. And so we just told you and we prayed and you caught us all up like you do every year. So thank you for that. And that's so generous of you. But what does God have for us in the future? So if you'll bear with me, I want to talk a little bit different today. Again, a vision, again, some goals for us. In Psalm 121, there's a tremendous psalm there. And this was my psalm from last year. Last year, I really believed that God was leading our church family to lift up our eyes. That we had just finished this great remodel, and facility remodels are great, and there's a lot of excitement. But we tended to have a couple of years where we focused on our needs and what we needed to do to go from three services to two services so that we can be more connected as a family. But last year, I just felt like, okay, we've done all this stuff. Let's lift up our eyes again, and let's look out and see what God has for us. And Psalm 121, it just says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so this time last year, we announced to you some goals that we had for 2018. And I want to take just a couple of minutes and review those so that I can give you just a little bit of an update on how those goals for last year went as we lifted up our eyes. Last year, we wanted to create some leadership, we wanted to update our vision statement. And so we've been spending the last year, year and a half, updating our vision statement. We had a vision statement that had carried us well for 20 years. And the last couple of years, we've been doing some modification to it, and we finished it. This is what I went through last week, so I'm not going to go through it this morning. Our vision statement simply says that Auburn Grace exists to make Jesus famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. Helping people connect to God, helping people to connect to your neighbors, helping them people connect to our church faith family. So we wanted to finish our vision statement, and we did that last year. Another goal that we had last year was to provide some leadership to young families. We started having, a couple years ago, more young families coming to Auburn Grace. And so we wanted to create some leadership and some opportunities. So last year in 2018, we launched a home group, or what we call life groups, and we created one specifically for young families. And the Adams, Jeremy and Aaron Adams did a great job of leading it. That group meets every other Monday night right here in church in our facility here. And that group has grown to now they're going to need two groups. And so if you are a young family here with small children, we want to encourage you to do that. We also launched through Claire, our women's ministry director, launched MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. We have a great group of young moms that meets here twice a month and to talk about being mom. We talked about our preschool, and our preschool is really growing, reaching those young families. Even our Christmas program, we modified it a little bit. We've been talking about doing it for a couple of years. This year we did it. And instead of having multiple nights of the Christmas desserts, we decided to have a huge family night, family Christmas on Friday night. It went wonderfully. And then on Saturday and Sunday night, we brought an artist here who is a little bit broader in their appeal to the multi generations. And so we brought J.J. Heller here. So I've been trying to do these things to attract and to really minister to young families and provide some leadership. So God was faithful, and he allowed us to do that. We also, one of last year's goals was to provide additional leadership to our retirement age. You know, Ambassadors is going really well, but there's hundreds of retirement age folks here at Auburn Grace. Our community is a retirement community, and so our church reflects that. Right across the street from us, I don't know if you know, they're building a retirement community right across the street, 858 units of houses, apartments, townhouses, and there's going to be over 1,000 retirement folks right across the street. We're going to get plugged into that community. We already are plugged in. I don't know if you know this, but we have church services a couple of times a month in all of the convalescent hospitals across the street from us. And we want to plug into that community that's coming as well. So this year, we were so grateful. Retired pastor John and his wife Carolyn McIntosh from our sister church in Ripon and Simi Valley before that have moved to Auburn because their family is in Roseville, and they've joined our leadership team, and their job is to help minister to retirement folks. So we're excited about what God has done in that area as well. We wanted to provide stability and leadership in our worship team. We made some changes there, and we were asking God to provide some stability and some leadership there. And so God has brought forth a great team. Isn't the team doing good and leading worship around here? Okay, so we're so grateful for them. So we're grateful for that goal as well. We've also been talking this year about our Grace Park project. I don't know if you know this or not, but God, about 10 years ago, a little bit more than 10 years ago, opened the door for us to purchase the 6 acres that are right on the hill next to us. And it's been our vision for a long time to have a park there that has a soccer field and softball field and kids' playground, amphitheater, a walking trail, a prayer garden, some shuffleboards, some different activities there so that our community can come and enjoy recreation, and somehow we can use recreation to connect people to God, to our church, and to each other. So that has been reignited. God has been doing some great things this year in reigniting that project. We have a great ad hoc committee together. There's some people in the community that are rallying around the project. We presented the idea to several of our key community leaders, our supervisor, some people at the planning department, and God is really opening the door for this. There's a lot of excitement being generated about Grace Park. I'll talk more about that in a minute. That was one of our goals, just to reignite that project in 2018. In 2018, we wanted to get serious about church planting. Our church has never planted a church. Did you know that our church is a church plant? That there was a church in Modesto and a church in Sacramento that teamed together to help Auburn Grace get launched in 1979, 1980. But since 1980, we've given money to other groups that are planting churches, but we ourselves have never planted a church. And I really believe God wants us to build his kingdom. And so we got some coaching by a group of people within our own fellowship, and the group is called Assist Church Expansion. And over the course of the last couple of years, our district of churches in Northern California have got coaching from Assist, and we have launched an official project to plant an international church in San Francisco. We have a mission point in San Francisco right now in the Haight-Ashbury district. Kevin and Suchu Ong have been there for 10 years, and they are running an international hospitality house that rents rooms to international students who are coming to the U.S. to study, and they're graduate level, doctorate level, postdoctorate level. They also do some work on San Francisco State University and the University of San Francisco, and they have an incredible ministry there. And so we want to continue that ministry by launching an international church in San Francisco. So last year, we were just trying to get the project to become an official project, and it happened. Assist has made an official project. The second project is that we as a church want to launch a campus church from our church somewhere here in the foothills. We want Auburn Grace to be able to find a community that's thriving and growing but isn't overly churched, and we want to launch a sister church somewhere in the foothills. And we call it a campus church because that church will be under our leadership. The elder board will be the elder board over both campuses. They'll have their own staff, but we can share resources, share ministries, and be a great time. So last year, through the coaching of Assist, because I've never planted a church, we've never planted a church. Some of our elders have planted churches, but we got some great coaching. So we asked the Lord last year, just give us some official projects. And lo and behold, we have official projects in the works. And so it's starting, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute as well. We also wanted to finish a couple of projects around here. We wanted to finish some of the things we didn't quite finish in our remodel. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's some beautiful crosses on each side of the building now. We didn't do anything during our remodel because we didn't have time and all of that. So now through some wonderful donations of some people, we have some crosses on the buildings. They're beautiful. You should see them on each side. We're going to put some lights in the ground to light them up at night, and so our community can see the crosses. We also have a new shed. We're also taking our fellowship hall, our big room right outside here in the courtyard, and we've painted the walls, and the Wests have done a terrific job of putting in new lights and decorating it, creating a cafe setting. And we're creating a little fun little setting in there, and we're going to make a little coffee shop there, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Also some signage and some other things, so we wanted to do some projects around here. Another thing that we needed to get ready for is we were asked last year if we as a church would host our national conference in 2019. We have over 300 churches in the U.S. and North America. We have hundreds of churches outside of North America. And once a year, all of the Charis Fellowship churches offer a national conference, and we've been asked to host it. And so in July of this year, we are going to be invaded by hundreds and hundreds of people all from all over the world, and we're having a three-day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday conference here. And so in 2018, we were asked to do it. We've put our team together pretty much in place to host this conference coming up in 2019. So those were some of the goals that we had for last year. God was good to us. God was good to work through us. And those are the things that he helped us to accomplish last year. In 2019, I've been reading through the book of Joshua. And Joshua, in chapter 6, there's a great story. I mentioned this a little bit last week. Joshua was a great leader of the people of Israel. You know, they came out of slavery in Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then God brought them into the promised land. And when Joshua led them into the promised land, the first major battle they faced was with the city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho was a formidable city, and these people of Israel who had just come out of slavery weren't really seasoned soldiers, but God gave them a great victory over Jericho to demonstrate that he was with them. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 7, after Joshua received God's plan of what to do, Joshua said to the people, "Let's go forward and let's march around the city." And so in my heart for this year is that whatever God has put in front of us, we may not be able to do all of it in his time, but we're going to wait for his time and his way. But let's move forward and let's march around the city. And I think this is so good for our personal lives as well. Maybe there's something in your life that's challenging that you're going to have to work hard at, or you're going to have to overcome, or you're going to have to make some changes to get victory over. And maybe you're not going to accomplish everything you want to accomplish in 1 year, but maybe this year, God's just going to have you advance. Advance on whatever it is he's going to bring you victory on in your life. So here are some things that I believe, that we as a leadership team believe, God is leading us toward. Let me give you a couple goals for 2019. Number one, we want to strengthen our current ministries. We're always looking to see how we can improve the current ministries that we have. And there are some things that we could do better, and we're always fine-tuning and changing some things to adapt and to motivate people to become better followers of Jesus. And so we want to strengthen our current ministries. Second of all, we want to implement what is called alignment to our vision. Remember, our vision keywords are connect, grow, and serve. And we need to make sure that all of our ministries are in alignment with that vision. It doesn't do us much good if we have a wonderful vision, but everybody in ministry is kind of doing their own thing. So it's my job as the leader here of the ministry staff to point everybody in the same direction and say, hey, how is your ministry helping people connect, grow, and serve? And that takes a lot of energy and a lot of meetings and a lot of communication, but that's one of our goals. Now that God has updated our vision statement, let's make sure that all of our ministries are in alignment with that vision. That's part of what we want to accomplish this year. Another thing we want to accomplish this year, and it's been on our heart for a little while, is to provide additional leadership for our young adults. You know, young adult, I'll just be honest, young adult ministry in the foothills has been a little difficult for all of us as churches. I meet with a group of pastors from our area once a month, and we pray together and we talk about what's happening in the foothills. And it seems like no one church is able to have a super perpetual vibrant ministry to young adults. Sometimes they graduate from high school and they move away, but a lot more young adults are staying, or they're going away for a little while and they're coming back. And many of the young adults in the foothills are going down the hill to find ministry experiences. And so this year, it's my vision that we would, as a church and in cooperation with other churches in the foothills, that we would have a vibrant ministry for young adults. Part of the reason why we're converting our fellowship hall into a cafe is because young adults love two things. They love super cool spaces, and they love super cool coffee. And so we're creating a super cool space and having super cool coffee, okay? And we're calling the cafe Outreach Cafe because what we're going to do is we're going to bring in coffee from all of our mission partners around the world. We're going to bring in coffee from Chile, from the Phillips brothers down there. We're going to bring in coffee from Kenya, from our partners there. We're going to bring coffee from India. We're going to bring coffee from Mexico. And we're going to bring coffee in so that people become aware of what God is doing around the world. And then we're going to have a couple local people. There's going to be a guy here next week that's going to introduce his coffee to us. Out there in the courtyard, some free coffee out there to give it a shot. And we're just going to create a cool space and have cool coffee. And then all the proceeds from the coffee sales, donations, are going to just go back to our mission partners. So it's not going to be a ministry. So we're looking for volunteer baristas. I don't even know what a barista is, you know, but, you know, no, I know what a barista is, okay? But, and we're going to open it up sometime during the week. You know, it would be great if you have a meeting with somebody, instead of going to Starbucks, come by the church, and we'll have free Wi-Fi, we'll have a cool place, your kids can play in the playground, and you can grab a really nice cup of coffee, you can have a latte, a cappuccino, a frappuccino, a mochaccino, whatever it is you want to have out there, and we got some really nice coffee machines that Dutch Brothers sold to us at a very, very reasonable price, and so we're starting to put this together. Why? Because we love young people, and we want to create a cool space. Why? Because they need to connect, they need to grow, and they need to serve. And they need to connect with each other, connect with God, and how can we do that? And so creating a way to do that is going to be exciting. So that's coming in 2019. And the cafe is almost finished. You should go in there and look. If you haven't seen the fellowship hall in a couple of months, you should go in there and look. It's turning out. The West family is doing a fabulous job of decorating all of that. Another thing that we're doing this year is we are creating a pathway to increase the number of internships and apprenticeships. We are having a stronger connection on the campus of William Jessup University. And we want to create a pathway because those students, especially the juniors and seniors, a lot of them have to do internships somewhere to practice what they're learning. And we want to be a place where they can come practice their ministry that they're learning. And we want to make it attractive. We want to have the top-notch technology here so that people that are doing ministry technology, ministry opportunities, we want to create a deeper route, a deeper path into William Jessup, and so we can have more interns and apprenticeships. Brian, who led our worship this morning, he's our first apprentice here at Auburn Grace. Apprentice means we hire him for 1 year, okay? Don't clap. He's not done yet. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. Okay? Yeah. Okay? Apprentice means we hire you for a year. Brian believes that God might be calling him to worship ministry. We see some of it in him. He's new. He's kind of raw. But we can certainly surround him and come accompany him. And let's take it for a year and see where it goes and what he does. And we want to have more internships from William Jessup here and more apprenticeships here so that we can not just be a church that talks about young people, but we can actually be equipping young people to do God's work around the world. And we want to be an equipping church, not just an approving church. Okay, does that make sense? So young adults and internships and apprenticeships is where we're going in 2019. And if you're a young person here today, you're in your 20s, you're past high school, you're in your 20s or so, you're getting into your career, if you want to be part of helping to launch any of these, if you're a student at William Jessup and you want to be a part of that, come and talk to me, talk to our staff. We want you to be a part of that as well. Also, we have two big celebrations in 2019. As I talked about, we have the National Conference coming in July, July 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and this is how you can help. We are not leading the conference. We are not in charge of who speaks or what happens. We are in charge of just opening up our doors and hosting it. And we are going to be the host and the hostesses for 400 to 600 people for 3 days. And we would love it if you would sign up because you know where the bathrooms are and you know where the kitchen is, okay? And you can help put coffee out or drinks out and just be great hosts and hostesses. So if you're interested in doing that, in the next coming months, we're going to have a sign-up sheet that you can get involved in that. The second way you can get involved is a lot of the folks that are coming to Auburn from all over the place are ministry people. And most of them come from small churches, which means they don't have a big budget to travel all the way from Ohio or wherever to Northern California. One of the ways we can help them in their costs is by maybe hosting them in our homes so they don't have to get a hotel or they don't have to get a bed and breakfast. So if you're interested in hosting a person, a couple, a small family, they're going to arrive on a Monday, and they're going to leave on Friday, and they're going to be crazy busy from dawn till dusk on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you want to open up your home, we're putting a link on our website that goes to a little form. You can fill out a form saying, this is what my house is like, and this is who I can host. And then we're going to put those, that list, on the fellowship website so that people can email you to talk about maybe you can host them in your homes. Wouldn't it be fun to meet somebody from Africa or meet somebody from some weirdo from Pennsylvania, you know, you know, or New York or what. You know, they think we're super weird. And we look, oh, if we're weird, you're like double weird, you know. I got to tell you a quick story. I was at National Conference in Ohio last July. We're having our last big meeting. It's all the leaders from all the churches all over America, and they're talking about some things that they want to publicize. And they're talking about these cultural issues. And so they read off one of these cultural statements, and somebody stands up to the microphone, because it was an open session. They stand up at the microphone and they say, you know, I'm so-and-so from Erie, Pennsylvania. I understand this statement, but if some weirdo from California reads this statement, they're going to get something really different than we think. And I go, I'm sitting right here, okay? I'm from California. Our team that went from our church is like, we're from California. We're not the weirdos. They're the weirdos. So anyhow, if you're interested, and possibly it's July 23, 24, and 25, so they would come in on Monday and leave on Friday. If you just want to host, be hospitable and let somebody stay with you in your house, or you can go on vacation and let somebody stay in your house, okay, we're going to open up the door. That would be a tremendous help, because like I said, there's a lot of staff people come, pastor and their wife, couple of kids are coming from Ohio or Vermont or Southern California. Their churches are small. They don't have a big budget for this. We can really help them out by having host homes, by just opening up our home and being hospitable. You're not going to have to feed them. They're going to get all their food here at the conference. So it's just going to be a time to do that. So anyway, that's coming up. The second big event, it's, hey, you know what? It's our church's 40th birthday this year. 1979, we started as a church. Yeah, isn't that great? And so we're going to have our 40th birthday party. Okay, it's sometime late this year, maybe early next year. But in 1979 is when our first pastor showed up. And then in 1980 is when we became incorporated as a church. And so we're going to celebrate our 40th birthday and do some fun stuff. So those two things are coming up this year. We also want to complete a few more of the facility projects. I don't know, sometimes it's hard to find your way if you're new here. Our signage needs to be improved, some of our landscape, some of the little stuff like that. We want to work on that this year as well. But the big thing that I want to talk about is a longer range idea. Okay? I want to introduce this morning this thing called legacy projects. And this year, 2019, I want to start promoting these projects. And what I put down there on the screen is building for beyond a lifetime. That you and I can start to think about, let's build something that's going to last beyond our lifetime. Let's build something in the name of Jesus and to make Jesus famous that we can pass on to the next generation. So if the Lord doesn't come back in our generation, and he may wait a little bit longer to return, whoever follows us here at Auburn Grace, whoever is here after we're gone, we, while we were here, are building something with that in mind. Does that make sense? So these are legacy projects. And I think God is leading us to have two of them. Two legacy projects. I told you last week that I turned 55 in 2018, and I think I have about a dozen good years left in this position. So what can we do in the next 10 to 12 years to build a legacy for the next generation? It's not going to be something that I myself may see everything, or certainly my kids are all out of the house. They're not going to see it, or they're not going to get to use it, but something we can pass on to the next generation. Let's build something that lasts beyond our lifetime. We've done a lot of wonderful stuff here the last 5 years to help us enjoy our time together, right? We've remodeled the building. Okay, we put a new beautiful courtyard in. We've advanced mission projects around the world. We enjoy all those things, but let's start thinking also about building something that lasts beyond our lifetime if the Lord doesn't come back. That's what I mean by legacy projects. And this year, I just want us to become familiar with them. I'm calling it a promotion campaign, a promotion campaign. Two areas. Number one, let's go back and talk about church planting projects. We want in the next couple of years to plant a church in San Francisco. We want to help those internationals connect to God. And we are working with our office in our fellowship called Assist Church Expansion, and they are coaching us on how to launch this church as a district. This project is not an Auburn Grace only project. This is a Northern California district project. And in 2019, our goal is to push this project out to a national promotion, which means that this project in San Francisco is going to be promoted all across North America. And we're going to see who God raises up to be part of the project in San Francisco. We're praying that who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the church planter in the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco. That's a tough area of San Francisco. If you know its history, it's had a history of the hippie days forward, and it's an area of San Francisco that would be tough to penetrate to make Jesus famous. So who's going to be the leader of that project? And then you know what? God is going to regionally put a team together. I believe there's going to be a couple people from our church that when I say, hey, we're going to plant a church in Haight-Ashbury District of San Francisco, your heart begins to race. And you get super excited about not only going there and praying for it and walking the streets praying for the people, but God may even stir your hearts to move there for a year or two to get that project launched. I think there's going to be people from each of our district churches and people from all over the nation that are going to form a team that's going to launch this church in San Francisco. We have an official proposal completed. We are an official project that's going to go national this year within our fellowship. And we're going to help those internationals in San Francisco connect to God. And I know that for some of you, you're going to get super excited about that. You might even quit your job, go find a job in San Francisco and move there to help with that. When I say, let's go help San Francisco connect to God, some of you are going to say, I can't stand that idea. Okay? And you know what? That's okay. That just means God's not going to have you do that. But God is going to raise up a great team. Super excited about this. It's going to be 4 to 5 years. Okay? It's not going to happen in 2019. In 2019, we're just going to let Assist help us go national with the project and to get some people together to organize it. The second area within this area, within these legacy projects, is within church planting, is I want us as a church to launch 2 churches in the next 10 to 12 years. I've never planted a church. You know, our church is a church plant from Modesto Church and from the Sacramento Church. I think in the foothills, there's going to be a need for some good churches. Our foothill community from Rockland, Roseville, Lincoln, all the way up is growing. And there are going to be pockets of people that could use a good church where there is no good church. And so I'm really praying and I'm super excited that in the next 10 to 12 years, God is going to use our church to plant 2 campuses. Now, by campus church, what we mean is that we're connected. We share resources. That staff will be on our staff. Our elder board will oversee that church. We're doing this in a connected way. We're not just taking some people and sending them to another town and say, be warm and be filled. We're going to be connected to them. And so what we're praying for this year in 2019 is to identify and recruit our first campus pastor. Again, working with Assist, who is coaching us, we have an official proposal that they've accepted. And in this proposal, it talks about a timeline. It talks about the different needs. It talks about the budgets of how to make this happen. I've put a bunch of these out there in the Welcome Center out there if you're interested in that. But this year, we are really praying that God would help us to identify who is this first campus pastor. You know, the campus pastor, this is how it will work. The campus pastor will come onto our staff, and they'll work part-time helping us in our ministries here so that they can get to know our DNA, our culture, so that when they go start a church, they will understand how to work together with us. The second half of their employment will be gathering the team to launch a new church. So they're going to come on to our staff for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, to learn our culture, to learn our DNA. That's part-time. The second half of their job will be to plant and to get this team ready. And I'm hoping, and we have in our proposal, possibly Easter of 2021, we would send 100 or 150 people from Auburn Grace to a nearby community to launch a brand new church. And so we've been talking, asking God, can you identify and tell us who this first campus pastor is? I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but one of the people that we're talking to, maybe you know this name, he's a young man that's been in our church a couple of years ago. He was in between ministry positions, and he and his family lived here for about a year. His name was Clint Letterman and his wife Kirsten, and they are very interested in coming back to this Foothill community from Fresno and becoming our first campus pastor. So he's a great guy. We've been talking to him about this. So you can pray about this. Again, we're just advancing, right? I don't know all the answers. We're advancing. I'm hoping that this idea really excites some of us, and we get really excited about, you know what? I'm kind of a pioneer at heart. Maybe you feel like, you know what? I wouldn't mind getting out of the comfort of Auburn Grace and going and stirring some new ground somewhere. Maybe that pioneering heart excites you, and you'll be part of a team that wants to do that. We also are praying, God, in 2019, will you help us identify the location? Where should we plant a church that's close enough to be a sister church, but yet far enough that it's in its own community? And right now, doing some study, Assist Church Planning, helping us do some study of the area. It looks like the Rockland-Roseville area, or perhaps Lincoln, that's growing like crazy. That might be great opportunities for us to plant churches down there and plant our first church down there. So we really believe that by 2021, we are going to be launching our first campus church. I don't know about you, that just excites the dickens out of me. That's super exciting. And I know that it may just be something that you really identify with as well. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. That's coming in the future. So that's one aspect of our legacy projects, is let's expand God's kingdom. Let's do it in San Francisco, and let's do it once or twice in the next decade here in the Foothill community. The second area of this proposal, or these legacy projects, is in the area of completing our Grace campus. Let me explain the vision that we've had for 20 years. You know, I became the pastor here in 1994, and it wasn't very long after that we started talking about what is our lifetime vision. And you want to know what it is for us right here in North Auburn? Here it is. Our long-term 20-year vision is to have a 13-acre campus that will have hundreds and hundreds of people coming on our campus every day to get connected to God and get connected to each other. That's our vision. Let me share with you just for a few minutes. This is our current property, and you're sitting right there this morning. Okay, this is our building. Okay, this is our current 4 acres. This is our vision for the 6 acres. We purchased about 10 years ago these 6 acres, which are these 6 acres right up on the hill. Okay, this is a Grace Park, and this is a rendering that we've had for 10 years, hoping that God would someday open up the door for us to do this project, and we're going to have recreational facilities for all ages. There's going to be a soccer field, there's going to be a softball field or baseball field, a playground, an amphitheater, there's a walking path, there is a prayer garden, there's going to be shuffleboard, because the folks in the retirement center are going to live right here, and they're going to be able to walk right across the street and come on to our property. It's our vision someday to also purchase Mr. Miyagi's property from him. And so that we can have as a church a gymnasium and a family center. And in that family center, we can have a biblical counseling center. Can you imagine a church that offers free family counseling to our community that's all based on the Bible? Okay. Or how about having a couple come to do financial planning for their families, or parenting classes, or Bible studies? Okay, and having folks come all the time, hundreds and hundreds of people come to our campus every single day of the week, and it's whether they're playing soccer or they're playing basketball or whether they're coming to a Bible study or to church, somehow we're going to use these 13 acres to connect people to God. And Auburn is in desperate need of more recreational areas, and this will be a huge attraction for our community. So my vision in the next 10 to 12 years is, hey, let's finish this thing. Let's finish this. What does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, that we want to move forward with Grace Park. It's our prayer that in 2019, we'll be able to take the steps just to get our permits. Okay, to get our permits to do Grace Park. We have some studies that we have to do. We have to do some different reporting to the county before we can finally officially figure out what exactly we can do where. But then let's move forward to get the permits for this year. And I don't know if it can happen. That's up to the Lord and up to a lot of people. But we have a great ad hoc committee together that's going to move forward with this. So it's my prayer that in 2019 we can get the permits. I also want us to pray about Miyagi's gym. He's a dear friend of ours. We've always had a good relationship with Mr. Miyagi. And he wants to retire in a couple of years. And we're just praying if there's some way God would open the door for us to acquire that building and property. And then we can incorporate his building and property into our entire campus vision. He's open to selling it to us. We've offered twice to buy it from him, and the price and the timing hasn't been right. So we're praying that sometime in the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to purchase Mr. Miyagi's property from him and have it incorporated into our overall plan. Wouldn't it be great that you could bring your family here and your kids can play basketball or can go to a youth group event and you can come and have a cup of coffee and ignore them for a couple of hours, you know, and know that they're in a safe environment. So that's what we're hoping to happen. In the coming years. This year, just praying about it and seeing what God will do. It's really our vision here that we would leave the whole campus debt-free to the next generation. Now, these are great ideas about having a park and having a gym, but the last thing we want to do is encumber the next generation with the debt from our vision. We want to leave it to them debt-free. Now, that's going to be a huge challenge that only God can do. In our estimations, to do everything we dream about doing here is going to take, over the next 10 or 12 years, about $10 million to do. So we're taking an offering in 5 minutes, and we're going to start the process, yay? But I hope you know that as your pastor, I do not like fundraising campaigns. When God has put something before us, we just want to let you know about it. And if you want to give to it, you give to it. The way that we bought those 6 acres was miraculous. We didn't have a thermometer on the wall. We didn't have big fundraising dinners. We just said, you know what? We're going to take an offering in August, and we're going to make one payment to them this year. And you guys paid it every year. And in 3 years, we paid that thing off. Without a big hoopla, without a big campaign. I'm not a big fan of church fundraising campaigns. I see they have their place for them, but I will never let money become the face of our church. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I'm going to go to church today because I love the people there, but he's going to ask me for money again. I never want that to be how you feel. We were that way when I first became the pastor here. We were in financial straits, and God brought us out of it, and I have pledged, as long as I'm the pastor, to never get us into financial straits again. And even when we did the remodel here, I got some wisdom from some peers, and we will never let our debt be more than 20% of our budget, which means that we're going to scale down things here, and God's going to have to do some great things, because I really believe this vision that he has for us is an incredible vision, but he wouldn't want us to do it and then leave the next generation with a boatload of debt. I believe he can do a miracle, and he can finish it and give it debt-free. How is he going to do that? I think I've already seen some insights on how he might do that. Let me explain. This year, we're going to help as a leadership team create avenues for contributions toward Legacy Fund. The Legacy Fund is going to be a fund we have here that's going to just go for these legacy projects. It's not going to go for any stuff that we're currently doing. It's only for legacy projects. I'll give you an example. Tom Bowen, who is one of our financial advisors here, my financial advisor for the church, he and I went to Placer Community Foundation, and we met with the director of Placer Community Foundation. Placer Community Foundation is a nonprofit organization that helps nonprofit organizations. with their foundations. We were asking the director there, we want to start a foundation for some legacy projects. How do we do that? And the advice that we got was that we don't need a foundation here. Just create a way that people can contribute. And then as we were leaving the meeting, the director said, you know what? If you guys are really that serious about putting recreational facilities as a means to gather community together, I have some of our 50 foundations that would love to contribute to that. Because that's part of their goal, is to improve community through recreation. And all of a sudden, we may have some grants or some foundation gifts from people that we don't know that can help with our legacy projects. We also have some organizations within our community that would love to have more sports space, and they'd be willing to even help build and fund and rent and maintain sports facility space. So we may have some gifts or some gifts of kind in kind towards some of the construction costs of building these things out. So what I really believe is that God is going to use a wide variety of people and foundations and grants to help pull off his vision for our campus here. And it's not going to be just something we lay at our feet as the only source of how to take care of that. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but I believe he's going to do it. And so this year, we're just creating an avenue for contributions toward the legacy fund. Ruthie and I have been talking about when we pass away and giving a percentage of our estate to the legacy fund and stealing it out of our children's mouths and giving it to the legacy fund. Okay, we have 4 kids and we're going to give them a percentage. And then we're also going to include a percentage to go toward the legacy fund, because we want to build something beyond our lifetime. And our kids are going to be fine. They're doing great. They can handle on their own. And but we're going to include something like this in our estate planning. And that's another way that maybe people can contribute to it. So I believe God's going to open up a lot, wide variety of ways to do this, and he's going to get it done. But wouldn't it be exciting in the next 10 to 12 years that we could have a wonderful place like this, and we could actually be building, let me move forward to there, and we could be building something like this and have it completed in the next dozen years, and just see hundreds of people that don't know the Lord coming onto our campus, and they think they're coming to play basketball, and they're going to be connected to God. And we have to figure out how to do that, and we have to figure out how to do that well. But our vision here is to help people connect, grow, and serve. And having a campus like this can be a great attribute to it. Does that make sense? So that's where we're going in the next couple of years. And what we're doing in 2019 is exactly what Joshua told the people of Israel. Just go forward and begin to march around the city and watch what God does. And I want to encourage that. Maybe there's something in your life that's a challenge that God is calling you to get involved in or to overcome or to break through. And it's going to take some effort and some energy. But God's going to give you the victory if you would just go forward and march around that city and see what God does. So last week we talked about our vision statement. This year we were kind of reminding us of our vision of where God has taken us. And between last week and this week, I hope it's exciting and encourages you. Some of these things really resonate, and you're going to jump in and get involved with them. And it's going to be fun to see what God does over the next 10 or 12 years around here. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and pray. The worship team is going to come out, and they're going to lead us in a closing song. Dear God in heaven, you tell us to plan our steps, but you direct the path. So we just take any of these ideas and we just lay them at your feet. And we say, Lord, do with them as you will. We believe that you want to use us to make you known. Because when you become known, people are drawn to you. People connect with you. People grow in their relationship with you. And then people are inspired to serve so that others can connect with you. And Lord, these ideas that we have, these steps, these doors that you've been opening, we believe are from you. So we surrender them to you in your time and in your way. May you stir our hearts. May you excite us about some of the things we heard about this morning. And may, Lord, you use us to rearrange our schedules, rearrange our work maybe, or our priorities, whatever, so that we can be engaged in building your kingdom. We can be engaged in making you known so that others will be drawn to yourself. What a great joy it would be to one day see you face to face and you tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not only did you connect, not only did you grow, but you even planned to build stuff beyond your lifetime. And now those that have not yet heard about Jesus are hearing about him. And Lord, thank you for using us in that way. We commit these plans to you in Jesus' name. Amen.